Some commentators see Genesis 4:7 as a reference to a Mesopotamian demon who lingers around doorways. If Cain will calm down long enough to listen, he will realize that God is like a father trying to guide his child. Like a good son, he will heed the warning about the lurking, sinister power of sin, whose presence he has already sensed. But Cain is too angry to accept correction. He wants only to shake a fist at God and rail at life's unfairness. Why should he, superior in every way to his younger brother, be rejected? Because rising anger, like rushing water, always seeks a path, Cain hatches a plan to lure his gullible brother out into the open fields, into the wild where no one will see or hear Abel's pleas for mercy. And then he strikes him down. Abel's cry of bloody murder immediately ascends to God. "Where is your brother Abel?" the Lord asks Cain. "I don't know. Am I my brother's keeper?" "What have you done?" Cain cringes, lowering his head and covering his ears, but the question reverberates, forcing him to face what he has done. Like his mother snatching fruit from a forbidden tree, Cain has plucked the life of his brother out of the land of the living. Like her, and like his father, too, he has fallen into sin by trying to make himself like God. "Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground," God declares. "Now you are under a curse and driven from the ground, which opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it will no longer yield its crops for you. You will be a restless wanderer on the earth." Because he spilled his brother's blood, there will be no refreshing rain to revive Cain's fields. "My punishment is more than I can bear," he wails. "Today you are driving me from the land, and I will be hidden from your presence. I will be a restless wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me." "Not so," the Lord replies. "Anyone who kills Cain will suffer vengeance 7 times over. Then he places a mysterious mark on Cain so that anyone who sees it will not kill him. So Cain, the first man born of a woman, leaves his family and goes to live in the land of Nod, east of Eden. Literally, the land of Nod translates to the land of wandering. The last we see of him, he is busy fathering a son and founding the world's first city. Eve and Adam lose both of their sons, one to murder and the other to exile. Comforting each other in the midst of their sorrow, they make love again, and God blesses them with another son, whom Eve names Seth. This time, there is no boasting about her wonderful creative powers, but only gratitude. For God has graciously given her a son to replace the one who was killed by his brother. As time passes, God gives Adam and Eve more children, and human beings begin to multiply and fill the earth. But the more they proliferate, the worse things get. Before long, God begins to regret that he has ever made them. Perceiving that the human heart is occupied with evil all the time, the Lord's own heart is filled with pain. Determined to deal with the violence and corruption that have spread across the land, he lets his eyes roam back and forth across the earth to see if he can find at least one good man. They come to rest on Noah, a righteous man who springs not from the line of Cain, but from the line of Seth. By helping Noah and his family survive the devastating flood to come, God will show his mercy once again. The times. Cain's story took place before recorded time. His story is drawn from Genesis 4 through 5. The first few chapters of Genesis set the stage for how human life will unfold on earth. The vision it creates is both raw and real. By killing his brother, Cain unleashes a cycle of violence and victimization that will characterize human life throughout history. One has only to watch the evening news to understand how the world God so lovingly created descended into conflict and chaos.